Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hi, this is Boston actor Mark Wahlberg, and when I'm not busy waking up at 3 a.m. to pray and work out, you'll find me hitting the gritty at my local Vietnamese restaurant. Stay blessed.
Flying on the seat of my pants there.
Yeah, I always did. Now ever since the entity fucked our like episode 2 weeks
ago. I'm really scared, yeah.
Hey Fam has become a horror movie. And normally, I used to think it was a rom-com.
Now it's a Jordan Peele joint.
Yeah.
It speaks about contemporary culture via well-made films.
Yeah, ask if I'm
excited. You haven't seen Nope, have you?
Ask if I'm excited to record tonight's episode.
Are you excited to record tonight's
nope.
episode? Wow. who hosts Pay Fam? Us?
I realized that you were actually asking me a question that I could have answered with yeah, Nope when I told you well. Asked me another one.
And when we finish recording, I say, get out. That's all of them.
Yeah.
What was Get that? Out, Us, and Nope.
Us, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're all great films. I think Nope might be my favorite.
Now that I'm in my movie era.
Dude, might, you are so might, back. Yeah. I had to let you go for a while and read the gamble manga.
Read manga where men turn into dogs and get fucked.
Yeah, I had to let you get wild for a bit. But now that you're back to, you know, fringe shit, like big mainstream movies. I'm so excited for you.
That's what happens in the Oppenheimer scene where where Florence Pugh mid route gets off that dick.
She just picks up that book
and then walks to the bookshelf in my house. It's
got that Tezuka.
Read me the Tezuka scene where the man who is turning into a dog is forced to have sex with another dog
in a circus or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that yeah. I am become
dog destroyer of like other dogs. I don't know,
destroyer of yeah something.
I am become human temperer. I told you about that. Like
yes, the person yeah. That's what I was thinking of. The lady who gets fried.
Yeah.
He had some shit to say, and I'm glad he got it out.
I got some official Tezuka keychains in the mail today. They were like a Coca-Cola promotion, like 20 years ago.
Oh, that's what
ago.
I saw that.
And unfortunately, just the ones that
like they just appeared in the mail, or you got
no,
it?
I paid for it.
I like when you make it sound whimsical.
I mean, sometimes shit arrives in my
this
house
is true.
Like that.
No, I know. But, I needed that differentiation.
But yeah, no, I would love... All the keychains are based off of his, like, you know, kids-friendly manga.
You want that dog
Astro
rape.
Boy, Unico, that kind of stuff.
Astro World.
Astro World and Uniqlo.
Astro World.
Yeah, imagine if he wrote Uniqlo.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he did. Do you think Tezuka wrote Utopia, the new Travis Scott album coming out this week?
You know that, like, he must be reading some classic manga works.
Oh, 100%. He's releasing a film in conjunction with the
album.
You
literally have to read it. Travis
you literally
Scott.
Have to read it. Well, he's releasing a film this week in conjunction with the album. And Nicholas Winding Refn, it's him and a bunch of other directors of all shot scenes. It's Nicholas Winding Refn.
Who's that?
Like Kojima's best friend.
Okay.
Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Only
okay.
God Forgives.
Yes, no, I saw this today. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Harmony Korine.
Yep. That's where
Gaspar, no, just some like absolute
auteurs of
like
of sicko,
white guys.
Sicko
yeah,
shit.
Letterboxd. Yeah. Sicko.
Guys who were going sicko mode before the song existed.
Yeah, Letterboxd is about to go sicko mode this weekend. Have so people is, forgiven is it, Travis is it Scott?
For allowing people to die in mid-show?
I always found that weird. People were like, we got to cancel this man.
I think it was just the fact that he showed little remorse afterwards. I think I think people were ready to forgive him if he asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, he kind of... But I always think he's like... And I don't... You know, I know 90% of our audience is a player. So I think he's like fully autistic because he's the most charmless person. Every time I've seen him in interviews, he just like stares and doesn't really talk.
Cool.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah. Maybe that the whole movie is, that's him asking for forgiveness.
Maybe it's an apology.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A24 is putting it out.
Of course they are.
So it's probably going to win Best
Those
Picture.
Three freaks working on anything. That's it. All of Harmony Korine's stuff like, for the last 10 years is all A24.
Spring Breakers was his first, yeah, and then Beach Bum, and he's
like the dark side
he
of
shot A24. Another movie. So he's this movie, I think this one is called like Circus Maximus, but then he's also shot another movie with Travis Scott that comes out next week at like Venice Film Festival.
And what's wild is that everyone involved in that movie is allowed to talk about it and promote it because A24 agreed to
they're paying them
all the guild
they're like
terms.
The only
yeah.
This is why all these news has come out because it's the only studio who's agreed. And The Rock has donated a historical
sum to SAG. Yeah, like it's a Rock redemption arc. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, hopefully as part of his like sacrificial finding himself journey he goes on, he renounces the ways of the Moana live action.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and
he murders Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm thinking about it, and like, I'm starting to think Black Adam might have been the best thing to happen to cinema last year.
Well, it's certainly the best performing movie DC have put out
since like the first, like since Batman vs Superman, right?
Yeah,
but like I now look back and I'm like, is this guy?
No, people forget like Aquaman like broke
a
billion.
Made billions. It made a billion over like worldwide. I'm starting to think he like planned this whole thing. He's like, I'm taking you down with me.
Yeah.
He's doing the end of The Dark Knight where he's like, you know, he's like, I have to get chased because I can take it. Like, he's like, I'm the Rock. I can take this backlash and hopefully kill comic book movies in the process and return to the Fast franchise before it gets too bad and fix 11. I mean, I know none of that is happening, but that's my like headcanon.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be amazing if he's like, I'm doing salary sacrifice to like, Vin has gotten carried away yet again, and I came back and I fixed 5.
Well, this going,
coming back now and I'm going to fix 11 onwards.
Wow.
I mean, that could happen.
If you know, I mean, the only way to fix the Fast series is get our boy,
Justin Lin back.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look, he could come back, but we know that Vin has ostracized him for reasons unknown.
I mean,
pretty sure it's just because he's Vin Diesel. Like, they're not unknown reasons.
One of the most unhinged things I watched in the last week, and you know, it was.
We spent a lot of time watching
unhinged shit.
Things
yeah, yeah.
That so you don't have to.
Was Vin Diesel thanking his followers for the birthday messages? It was so long and so boring.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
That guy.
When he was talking about having a detox from
that thinks it's okay to release a 4.5 thank you message on Instagram should not be allowed to be creatively involved in a movie.
No.
That they need to pull him away from the Fast franchise. Yeah. He can act in them.
I mean, this is what
he can promote them.
This is what I think
about.
That's
what I want him to do.
The dude is not in like 3 of them basically, or like 2 of them. He's not in 2 of them outright. And he's like, he's in 30 seconds of Tokyo Drift so he could get the rights to Riddick because he's like, I'm not going to be a part of this series.
But yeah, that means he is technically in it.
But he's not really in it.
You said outright.
He's barely in it.
There are rules to language, Angus.
He's not above.
I watched Oppenheimer.
Look, he's barely in it. He refused to come back for 2. I think he's doing a lot of retroactive, like, you know, retroactive canon. Like, even at the like CinemaCon this year, he's like, straight up another lie. He's like, this is the longest running series with the same actors. I was like, it's not, because you've been in 8 of the 10 films.
Is there a baby in there?
I was thinking about that the other day. Think about that line a lot.
I'm just thinking about him, like, yeah, instead of like, you know, like walk, like shaking people's hands and kissing people's already born kids, him just walking up to women's stomachs
and asking
if there's a baby in there.
He would be the first guy to say that, like, if someone asked who his hero was, he would say like, every woman I've never met or something. And you'd believe it.
Yeah.
He has
I still love him.
Oh, I love him too. But I can see how as a creative partner, he would be extreme. There's a hole there, isn't
there?
There's
a huge hole in your underarm.
Yeah, I sleep in this shirt.
So how bad your BO is.
That's it. It's real stonky down there. He would be an absolute punish to work with. Whereas like, oh man, he's so similar to Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but I reckon Tom Cruise would be a joy to work with. Provided you're in him.
I think like no one would be able to like 100% relax around him, but that's mainly because you think he's probably going to kill himself. But I think it'd be a pleasure. Like,
but like mid-stunt, not like he's not going to slash his wrist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's not going to...
Unless the stunt calls for it.
In which case he would practice it so often that he wouldn't die. But yeah, Tom seems like a much more... For a man that's called unhinged a lot, he seems like a far less unhinged person. And like a chiller hang.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, you could take Tom to a good restaurant or something and hang out. And you know, if you took Vin, he would end up like grabbing a microphone somehow and singing in front of the serenade.
They both
restaurant.
Sound like great nights out to me.
They sound like great ones, but also like sometimes you just want to eat dinner with Tom Cruise, you know?
Yeah.
Who would you believe more if they said like they loved making movies more? Because I think
Tom.
Yeah.
I don't think Tom has anything else but his love of making movies.
Tom has never released a
single.
Love
of watching movies.
He's strictly, there is no Venn diagram of like output from Tom. It's just film. Whereas Vin, as we know, has stepped into the musical world.
Well,
sometimes.
I mean, many actors do, and it never works.
Tyrese.
Out. Tyrese was a singer first and foremost.
Yeah, and a male model.
Yeah. He was, yeah, that's fine. Tyrese gets a pass. Scarlett
Tyrese
Johansson.
Tyrese and Ludacris get a pass because they
absolutely.
Began life as musicians first.
Yeah. In fact, I wish Ludacris would do less acting and more rapping. But
I don't know. If he's doing Roman noodles bits, then I might have to.
I mean, he'd be making pussy jokes again. That's like the best.
Yeah.
Ludacris he's rapping about pussy.
I heard him recently, like on a pretty recent track, and he still sounds great.
What was he rapping about?
Probably cars or something.
Yeah, right.
Whatever Vin has allowed him.
And make a red,
gives him a
red hat that says, make Ludacris rap about pussy again.
Yeah. Vin probably gives him like a list of subjects and suggested words he can use to rap about said subjects.
Mm. Yeah. So lots of content in the last week.
I got a One Piece shirt on.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry about the.
What's worse, having a hole in your underarm or wearing one?
Wearing a One Piece shirt. I'm so sorry about the trailer,
dude. Fuck.
I saw it while I was.
That's
away.
Why I've been watching so much content. It's just so I can forget that.
Yeah.
I wish that shit.
And
didn't
the worst
exist.
Thing about this is, you know, it's gonna get completely, like, slammed by the fans, slammed by critics who aren't familiar with the source material.
No, the worst is it's gonna be you're gonna use it to define the franchise.
No, I'm not. Okay. I actually feel for you.
Okay.
I feel for you because the
you're
going to
be like, well, I'm
it.
Never going to read it now.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah.
You
read three pages of it.
No, I read like 21 chapters and I was like, I was not clicking with me.
Yeah.
I just was like, this main character was so annoying.
21. Can you
I
read
wish,
something
I wish
for
Drake
me?
Was in it. I wish Drake was in like gear 5 or whatever. gear 6 because, you know, Toronto.
Oh,
six.
I love it. Yeah.
I just feel for you. It'd be like, imagine like... Even though you do watch and you have engaged with it, imagine if Netflix announced a live action Evangelion and it was like fucking Timothée Chalamet and like...
I love Evangelion as much as I love One Piece, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah, two things I equally love.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because Evangelion is a drop of water in the ocean of like the volume of One Piece. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's still plenty of manga, Evangelion manga that neither of us have read.
There's unofficial manga. Like,
no, it's all, isn't it... Haven't you explained it all in the past that it like is all it's like
oh no there's the manga which is an adaptation, but then they have unofficial canon ones where it's like, what if Shinji and Rei just went to school,
right? Yeah,
all
sure.
That shit's like not real. They're all written by like non
they both are like hand in hand when it comes to like merch. Insane amount of merch, like on, you know, you can
I just don't ever see Anno, especially while he's alive, giving Netflix or whatever the thumbs up for a live action.
Dude,
he seems done with Ava, like.
Yeah, but that makes me scared that maybe he might.
He
be
won't.
Like, he won't be like, oh, someone else can do something.
I don't think he will. Look at the way he's treated Godzilla and Ultraman and Kamen Rider.
Look, I've already accepted that this One Piece Netflix show is going to be bad. What I actually hope for is not that it's going to surprise me and be good. I hope that it's so much worse than I expect it to be that they never try this shit again.
I hope that this is like the last.
I know that is so
no,
negative.
I mean, you thought they would with like, Cowboy Bebop. You know what I mean? Like, you thought that would be the...
But that was, again, that was just boring.
Yeah.
This, like, I feel like...
This just looks like...
I feel like, unfortunately, One Piece is just going to be boring again. Like, and a lot of people... It's not going to be as bad as people would have to be for people to actually outright say it sucks. But, like, I just, like, it is the least mid-series in terms of, like, this crazy, ongoing, character-filled odyssey. That for it to be like,
if it's going to be an adaptation,
fucking brown live action series,
you want like Spielberg doing Tintin on it. You know what I mean? Like taking the sword.
I mean, there's already a television version of this show that
I
don't
already
watch.
Movies. Yeah.
Yeah, I watch the movies. They're fun, but the anime
is just
like,
who this is
what's
for.
The slowest way we can tell this story? Whereas at least
the one
thing I can say about the live action version is that like it looks like they are like the I've read, played, watched. The first 100 chapters of One Piece so many times. It's called the East Blue Saga. And I think they're going to, that's going to get through it all in the first season. But that means
the last season.
That's going to be all that exists is the most boring part of One Piece.
Yeah, right.
Our friend Tommy has been reading One Piece. He took some volumes with him to Vietnam.
Really? Home of One Piece.
Yeah. And also it's the easiest series to read legally with an iPad, which I know he owns. And he's like, no, I want to read it physically. But like...
Oh, really? He got it physically?
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, gee, what this buggy guy is like, it's like the first villain in the entire series. This buggy guy is like kind of annoying. He's been in it for a while. I'm like, did you 20 chapters in?
It's probably where I dipped out.
It's like, I don't know, long form media. It
always gets better.
Look, Tintin.
It's like a TV show.
Tintin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just skip the first four. You skip the first, I mean?
Unless you're into like super racist stuff. Yeah. Then only read the first
four. Archie's read, everything after...
Crap the Golden Claws.
Is it Russia or something?
Tintin in the Land of the Soviets.
Is that the first good one? I can't remember.
No,
that one sucks. That's the very first one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That was the first one that was only published
in English.
The
America one sucks. And
the American one sucks. The Congo one sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Cigars of the Pharaoh is really good.
That's the banger. Okay, is it the fourth one?
I can't remember. Maybe Blue Lotus is they're all over there in order.
But yeah, a lot of
Once you get Calculus and Haddock, Crab of the Golden Claws is where you meet Haddock. So I think that's where shit starts bussing. But also Cigars of the Pharaoh is really good, which was rolled into the Spielberg film.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what I mean? All that long form media, it takes a while to find its footing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you forget that it's written over 30 years.
Exactly.
So Tintin started off as newspaper strip and then was published into volumes, later.
Which makes those first few ones extra insufferable.
Yeah, because it's one page, it's like a frame.
Three panels and that was all you got that week.
And you're like, damn, he's going to run away from the Russians.
He's still running.
He's got a dog.
But yeah, man, that trailer.
But I feel for you. I felt for you.
Fucking hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I already know it's going to suck. So
I just don't know who it's for. At this point, everyone is so off.
And also, everyone involved, Oda, the creator, is so rich.
Is he doing it just for money?
I guess it's everyone's doing it. It should be an enormous, it should be a convertible big piece of media, I guess. I guess Hollywood sees how much money that it makes in Japan and they're trying to get a piece of that.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get one piece of that. Kitty's getting an A bag.
Your cat is trying to... I don't know. Get to know the bag that I
brought
to the house.
Cats are very into bags, especially this one.
I love the a cat with a cardboard tube videos.
Oh, they're so good. Stick that head in there, run in there, run through it. Yeah.
When you just see it'll open on the in the foreground is an empty tube, and then suddenly there's a whole cat in it.
It's good shit. Yeah, they love it. They're insane animals. They can get so flat. I was reading. They can basically break their bones, dislocate their bones, get through spaces.
Yeah.
They're fucking crazy.
We got a new dishwasher and Cookie keeps...
Archie got a brother.
Cookie keeps...
Archie and Tilly got a little sibling.
Actually, they got a cousin today. Yesterday.
Got two new dishwashers.
But
what's new about it?
Well, the old one broke. So we had to get a new one.
Is it one of those double layer ones?
So we already had a double layer one where it's two dishwashers. Yeah. And
let's go old fucking
school.
I
wanted to get another one because I liked that you can only put one at a time. But then B was like, we're just doing a full run of a dishwasher anyway. It doesn't use any less water or any less detergent. And I was like, oh, good point. And then
dishwashers, contrary to some people's belief, very good for the environment.
Yeah.
Because it's just a tiny bit of water that's constantly recycled, so while it's in there.
We got one that is low energy. And this podcast. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But Cookie loves it. Keeps getting in the fucking dishwasher.
That's crazy. You got to make sure that motherfucker is not in there.
I know.
Elsa.
What a dumbass.
That's crazy. Yeah, animals are hilarious. As soon as I bring in any bag, as you saw then, or as soon as I start packing, there's this thing called the tea towel experiment. If you put a tea towel on a floor, the cat will see the outline and just go sit on it. They just small spaces.
That's awesome.
They're bizarre as hell. But yeah, man, I am legitimately sorry about One Piece.
I'm sorry about Venom.
It would be if Marvel made a thing like Secret Invasion.
Yeah, of course, your favorite piece of media.
So we finished tonight. There's no you and I were going to watch the post credit scene without watching anything past episode one. There is none,
dude. It sounds like nothing happened in that show.
I would love to hear what happened and why it cost $212 million.
Well, I think a big chunk of that is COVID protocols for sure.
Sure.
Also, they paid for a bunch of
big actors.
Pretty decent big
Oscar winning actors
to be in it and
do nothing. And apparently, the first few episodes an hour, And then every episode after that's about like 25 minutes.
30. I think the finale was so 38.
Like,
yeah.
That's like, you could cut out an episode or two and that's a 2.5 hour movie.
It's so weird. But yeah. Like, also, I feel like it didn't really have any like big set pieces or anything like that. Like, that's the problem with like the TV stuff. There's no set pieces. It's just all of these like mid-range, like...
Yeah, which is why we always say the start of WandaVision was so good, because it didn't have set pieces. It was just...
Tonal
weirdness.
Yeah, but the big moment from the fifth episode of Secret Invasion was Nick Fury suiting up. Because he hasn't been wearing an eye patch for all the five episodes. And so the big moment was him getting his eye patch. And then he went into like a secret lane and like entered in a code. And in the safe or whatever is his eye patch.
Can't he just buy one like from the chemist? I don't know. I mean,
Elsa Faust isn't using hers now. She just used that.
Do you know why she wore it?
Yeah, yeah. You explained it like three times in the podcast.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know. Why this show? I did what, you know, we do best and not engage with media and then like go on Twitter and see people's reactions.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Especially the ones that are like praising it.
No, but a lot of people, I barely found any praise, and a lot of people just feel like it stinks of rewrites.
I think everyone is just like realizing how much it's going through the motions now. Like yeah. Mm. For me, I just like...
How liberating was it not watching it?
So fucking good.
It just felt cool to be like, awesome, that's... Well, I was about to say 6 hours spare, but it sounds like 2 hours spare.
Oh, how good is it? So you know how my dad used to roast me for like getting him to... He'd come over to babysit my kids, then excitedly ask, where are you going?
And you'd have to
And I'd be like, oh, we're going to see fucking, movie. You know, Iron Man 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know one's probably good. Iron Man 21.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, not another one. Anyway, talking to him today about, I was like, oh, you've got to see Oppenheimer. It's so good. He was like, yeah, I love Nolan movies. You know, I can't really watch them with your mum. She was pretty confused by Tenet. But right. You know, don't worry, I made her watch it again so she could understand it.
And
I go,
sick.
And he goes, yeah, I probably watched it about 4 or 5 times.
What?
I was like, wow, that's crazy. He's like, yeah.
I think your dad's watched it more than me.
Then he goes, yeah, I reckon I watch Inception once a month.
Oh man, I love that so
much. And he goes, yeah, Interstellar I've watched, a few times a year as well.
Your dad likes Chris Nolan more than you do.
How good is that?
That's awesome.
I had no idea. Like that, like the like going like, damn, my dad rules.
That's funny. So good.
Everyone call their dad and ask them how many times they've watched Tenet.
Seriously, do it now.
I was like, man, my dad is just alpha'd me by watching Tenet more times than
While you're watching like Infinity War and stuff, he's watching Tenet for the fifth time. I was thinking today because I'm like in my head, for those that don't live in Sydney, we're getting an IMAX theater finally after not having one for like maybe 7 or 8 years. And it's launching, but there's like going to be, I imagine this strike will be still going on because ain't nobody like A24. Going to be helping, you know, their actors and writers or whatever.
Yep.
And I'm just fucking hoping they just go like...
Greatest hits in the
Maverick,
last 10 years.
You know, Tenet, just like all these things that we didn't get a chance to see just out there.
Yeah.
Obviously Oppenheimer, obviously Mission
It should
Possible.
Hire us to like introduce each movie.
Seriously, I'm just like, they should just do a month of programming.
And then put us in like trapezes and then like lift us into the middle of the
spinning
screen.
Around. Yeah. That'd be tight. But like just be doing back to back, like do Nolan week. Imagine seeing the Dark Knight trilogy.
The last Nolan movie I saw at IMAX was Dark Knight Rises.
I was Interstellar. And then I haven't even seen Dunkirk in IMAX. That shit is...
It sucks.
Fuck. So should we talk about Oppenheimer?
We should at some point. I reckon we get through the other content first.
I saw the list, and as you know, once a year I go to Splendor in the Grass, the huge music festival for work. So
Angus is going to rate and review every band he saw at Splendor in the Grass.
I have nothing to add to what you're about to say.
Okay, a little bit of update.
Let's just talk about...
Two movies that I saw in Japan, Shin Kamen Rider and...
Well, I haven't watched that yet.
The First Slam Dunk. That's fine. I'm not going to talk about it, but I just want to let everyone know
that
it's available on Amazon Prime now, Shin Kamen Rider. Mm. You can watch it. I think it's available in most territories, but it's not called Shin Kamen Rider.
It's called Shin Mask Rider.
Yep. Yes. Shin Mask Rider, which is weird, but whatever.
But
go watch it. It's a crazy, super insane movie.
I'm going to watch it this weekend. I'm really pumped.
Turn that shit down, brother.
Yeah.
The First Slam Dunk got an announcement date for Australia.
What is it, like August?
It's right? out like this week in America. So if you're an American or even a Beanman, I think you can watch it in theaters this weekend.
What would they call it in like First Goal or something like that in Beanland? Prime Goal.
The First Wicket.
Yeah.
And then
first Wicked is it.
But then we and then we get it on July 24th in Australia. Very excited. I'm dragging.
July 24th. That's like out
wait,
now.
August 24th.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
I forgot what I forgot.
Yeah,
what
I'm pumped. That's why I want to read these. I want to pump these bitches.
I dropped all 31 volumes.
31.
Of Slam Dunk. 31.
Can you do something?
Can you dunk
for
something for me?
31.
All 31 volumes of Slam Dunk to Angus's house as I arrived today.
So good. It's so good. It felt like when like the Woolworths van pulled up when COVID was on and you got like groceries.
I still get my groceries delivered.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you don't? Yeah, right. I guess it's not really worth it for you.
Is it worth it for me?
One guy.
Yeah. Yeah, living alone.
But,
I've been doing it for, it's like almost 4 years now.
I watched The Venture Brothers.
The movie that finished the series, right?
Yeah.
And then was cancelled or something.
So yeah, the series, the last series that aired was series 7.
Another cool decision, right? By the geniuses of Warner Brothers.
Exactly.
Discovery.
They like, I guess via Adult Swim made the decision that they weren't going to fund another season of Venture Brothers. There was a huge fan outcry.
They're going to do comics at one stage, right?
Or, oh, I don't know. A lot of things were being like up in the air. They kind of just went silent for a while, but there was a big fan outcry and then the creators
How long ago was that?
About when a year were, and a half okay. ago, yeah, maybe longer. But then
they take some time between seasons. It's like
so long.
It's like whenever they want to do it.
I started watching this in 2003 when I was 19, and they managed to put out
so seven, 20 years later
seven seasons and one movie in that time, which is a very long amount of time to make the content.
So it's like
but whatever. It's mainly because the two creators that do like so much more than like, you know, your average animated show from like they write every episode, they direct every episode, they do the voices of more than half the characters. So like, yeah, it's a very personal show for them and they're perfectionists.
South Park do.
Yeah, but South Park looks like shit.
No, South Park looks great.
But yeah, Venture Brothers is an infinitely. I love South Park, but Venture Brothers, like from a writing point of view, is so much better than South Park. Obviously, trying to do very different things.
No comment from me. Yeah. I haven't watched it.
You would love it.
I think I've watched the first few episodes
again,
of season one.
Tintin. You know what I mean? The first season is fine.
There's only so many Tintins I can take, though. You know,
it gets amazing. All you need to do is get to season two, and it's
I'm also
amazing.
At a point in my life where I'm like, I'm glad that things exist that I don't. But I'm also like, I used to be like, I got to know everything. I'm kind of like, I feel like a bit of an old cowboy now, and I'm just like,
yeah. But when like, I don't know, let's say a guy that you spend 2 hours with every week,
but I'm happy for you.
You
know,
yeah. It's like this is the reverse of the One Piece thing. At least it's the creators, going out. Telling like wrapping up the story, obviously not on the terms that they
I like the voice actors
loved.
I like the people behind it.
Oh man, but by the end, like the cast is like J.K. Simmons is in the mix. That's and sick. Like who else is in there?
I gotta hear it. A great one, is it easy to watch here?
I can lend you all the DVD, the Blu-rays and DVDs,
but is it like
you
on,
can
on a streaming or
no it's not on a streaming
really?
and in fact they're taking it off the American streaming service.
Oh, I saw that.
And like the creators
doing
found
that,
out
aren't they?
Via Twitter. Yeah,
that's so fucking gnarly.
But yeah, so then they made an hour and a half long movie that wraps up everything, and it was just so fucking satisfying.
Is it Radiant? Like, is the blood of the baboon heart?
Yes.
Oh, so you can buy it.
Yeah, so I bought it on iTunes.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I bought the physical Blu-ray, which is on its way to me as well. But yeah, this is like
it's all on iTunes.
Yeah, if you want to buy it, you can.
Oh, okay. Kitty, what's up? She's right behind you.
Hey, Kitty.
She's creeping in.
Kitty wants you to buy all seven and a half seasons of Venture Brothers.
It is on a thing that a list that I have in my mind, and that list is I will watch this.
Especially when it's like it is a very very comic, like it started out, you know, everything on Adult Swim was a parody of something.
Parody of like earlier.
So this was a parody of like Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Like kid adventurers.
Yeah.
Hardy Boys, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But
and then it just gets like really meta and
so
like,
meta and like references heaps of comic book stuff, like, you know, the Golden Age comic stuff, Silver Age comic stuff, little Fantastic,
Monarch, right?
Fantastic Four stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's so, so well written and so funny.
I'm going to hit it.
Yeah.
I trust that one. People I like it.
So that was super satisfying.
It's like a good ending?
Amazing ending. Like if they ever make anything again, like it's a great way to go out. I reckon that they'll
do another movie or something.
This is the number one selling Blu-ray on Amazon at the moment.
That's pretty wild.
For like a pretty niche cartoon at the end of its run, like that's pretty cool.
That's huge.
Hopefully they're given opportunities to do like one-offs like this again, because I feel like it actually suits the creators' output a lot
better.
Better
than a season.
Than, yeah, in my, maybe they disagree.
Maybe they will.
I think it makes sense. Kitty agrees.
So her paws cut stuck.
Oh, poor little kitty.
Kitty, I'll lift you up. Are you still stuck?
You okay, Kitty Pryde? Big Kitty Pryde cameo this week.
There you go.
You're good? What did you say? Her, like, foot was stuck on?
Yeah, her claws get stuck into the couch. She's pretty freaky.
She rules.
Yeah, she's great.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
But then also, Futurama returned.
Yeah, I completely, like, forgot.
So I was like, oh, wow, it's crazy that, like, I've been watching Venture Brothers.
I think I only watched Bender's Big Game or Big Score.
Big Score, yeah.
Which ended up being chopped up into a season, right? chopped and screwed.
Two brothers chopping it up.
They just chopped and screwed it, didn't they, into a...
I got followed this week by a podcast, and the podcast bio is two brothers chopping it up.
Fuck, can we... Like, let's change our bio to that.
So fucking good.
Should we just change our bio to that?
Yeah, that's a good
idea. Two brothers
idea.
Chopping it up. That's so much better than whatever dumb shit it says now.
But yeah, I realized, yeah, Futurama, 23 years old.
11th season.
And yeah, I watched some of the
Comedy
Central.
I remember you and I
Comedy
had a
Central.
Sports bar episode. We're trying to break down the seasons. Because remember, some places were like, this is the season. We were so fucking confused.
I mean, because they didn't even air like most of the third and fourth season in Australia. So we, for the first time,
we only, that was, that
the DVDs, like, it, and it was such high, the combo of the DVDs and the ratings on Cartoon Network when it would screen late night on Adult Swim, that's what brought it back for the
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
Yeah. And those DVDs were like iconic because every episode had like director's commentary. It was
so
like
many deleted
some
scenes,
of the best.
The best menus. Like, yeah,
yeah. It was like the best DVD.
Peak DVDs.
TV series.
And then the Adult Swim DVDs, I reckon, are also peak. Like Simpsons, Futurama, Adult Swim, basically all animated shit.
Yeah, they go ham on
them. Like, the best, like they would record music and extra dialogue and make weird menus and like, yeah.
Yeah, characters would chat. But I only really remember the first four seasons because I watched them over and over. And then I think I watched before they announced that the movies that, before it was announced that the Comedy Central movies in air quotes were going to be like one big season. I watched the first one because I remember they released
Bender's
like
Big Score is great. And then there's a fantasy one that just, which is kind of fun from memory, but yeah, they're pretty, like, you can pass those. Then what I would do is I always watch, if you are new to Futurama, watch the first four seasons. They're all good.
They're brilliant.
Then watch Bender's Big Score. If you like that format, watch the other ones, but if not, skip them. Then,
so what's the next one? Season
six. Season six, I watched all of. There's one
what's
episode
on?
In it. It's Comedy Central.
Yeah. And
it's all on Disney Plus now.
And that's like not, or Hulu. That's not like big chunks like the...
No, it's just regular episode
format. One-off episodes. Sure,
but
sure.
They lent a lot harder into like topical... Sure, not just topical jokes.
They were talking
the series
about
like always did that.
And stuff,
yeah,
right?
They would do
yeah.
an entire episode, which is an iPhone parody. That kind of works within Futurama's theme. The thing that killed me was they once did an episode about a boil on... Leela's
oh,
neck,
Boyle
and
episode.
Her name is Susan, and so it's a and she's a famous singer.
That's really stupid.
It was so shit. It was like the worst episode. And I kind of But there's an episode in season six called "The Late Philip J. Fry," where Fry's always late, and it involves time travel, and that's as good as anything from the first four seasons. But yeah, I don't think I watched. They made like six, seven, eight, or something like that.
Yeah, they did six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. Right?
What the fuck?
Well, the new season 11.
How does that work?
That's what, remember you and I got stuck last time trying to figure it out. I'm on the Disney Plus page now. These seasons are
Comedy
like,
Central made four? Five?
Yeah.
Five seasons?
Well, did they split the movies into five and six?
What does it say on the, I'm looking on the, you're on the Disney.
Oh, that's so weird.
What does it say?
Their season five on here.
It's just Bender's Big Score.
No, ends when season four ends because that used to be the finale, The Devil's Hands.
Oh no! So that's if they're going off air date. So
right,
broadcast seasons for Futurama are a mess because they split it up into weird. Whereas production series like seasons are what we got on the DVDs.
But the finale back then was always The Devil's Hands played.
Yeah, yeah, cool. All right,
which I always thought was like a good finale.
Killer
if that's
finale.
How it ended.
Yeah, but I think there's even more after that. So season six is probably also from the first.
Really? Okay, this
okay,
is
so
why
it's so it's a mess, everybody. Look up the...
There you go. Season six is Bender's Big Score.
Okay, there you go.
So that's when it starts going.
And then, okay, there's all the movie ones. And then they make... So they made three seasons on Comedy Central?
Yep, they did. Bender's Big Score. So the movies were The Beast with a Billion Backs, Bender's Game, and Into the Wild Green Yonder.
And then, okay, yeah, so seven. Well, they did do four. They still made four seasons. That's crazy.
Yeah, I wonder what years they were.
Seven, eight, nine, ten. And like the 10th season still, like, yeah, like they're making 13 episodes a season. But yeah, anyway, so whatever. The first episode is on Disney Plus now of the new Hulu season. And it's very meta. They're just making fun of themselves for getting canceled heaps. Mm. And
it's pretty wild that it's back.
And they say as much like 50 times in the episode. And it should be hack, but it's really funny.
Cool.
And it's kind of like, oh, it's just all the gang is back. And yeah, it's the same writers, it's the same directors, it's the same voice cast. And it doesn't feel like they're trying to do anything new.
That's good.
It just
though
feels like just same old Futurama.
Well, that's kind of great.
Yeah, it rocks.
I love Futurama.
Yeah.
I, you know, was bummed when The Simpsons became dog shit, but luckily it was around the time that Futurama started.
I think the main reason that I didn't keep up with the Comedy Central stuff
was watch.
Was like you had to torrent it.
It was very, yeah.
And like, I think I just hit a point where I was like, I don't like torrenting stuff anymore.
Yeah. That coming back,
not for like you know reasons of high and mighty reasons, just because no, it was annoying.
It was annoying. Yeah, it was annoying to like laptop. I hate HDMIing shit to a TV.
Yeah, it sucks.
I hate it. It's fucking lame.
It's how I watched BlackBerry recently, which I fucking loved.
Yeah, I really want to see it at a cinema.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna. It's so
maybe
stupid.
Golden Age will get it.
Maybe IMAX.
Maybe IMAX.
BlackBerry on IMAX. That's because like BlackBerry is probably one of my favorite movies of the year.
I've heard as much from probably everyone that's seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I would say, yeah, it's BlackBerry, the first Slam Dunk, and then, okay, I would did this, I think we already asked each other this. Out of Oppenheimer, Barbie, and Mission Impossible 7, what's your favorite?
MI7.
Me too.
I had the most
And I
fun.
Asked B too. I was like, and we just like fucking cruise pilled. I mean, she might be too, but like it's pure movie to me. Like,
yeah, it. And yes, you and I did see it on Tom Cruise's birthday with Tom Cruise. And sure,
and Tom Cruise looked at you.
Tom Cruise looked at me and acknowledged me and said, thanks so much.
That guy in a Kangol just said, happy birthday.
It's one of the coolest moments.
One of the coolest hats.
That's so sick. He must have thought I was a regular Ving Rhames, you know, maybe a kindred spirit. But it is the most movie. I agree.
It was so, and it's not even my favorite Mission Impossible movie. Like, no, it's not even. Just, it might not even be top three, but I loved it. So much for, I don't know, for what it is.
It's so good.
I think, but that's my top three at the moment.
I love Barbie and Oppenheimer as well.
Me too.
Spoiler alert, I love Oppenheimer.
Fucking love
Which I think I said as much in the last episode, but I didn't want to say anything. Just a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
The Bear is back. I'm halfway through season two.
I watched the first episode last night.
Speaking of, damn, isn't it good that a gang is back?
Holy fuck, dude.
It's okay. The best like new show. Like, it's the best show on television that's like,
and like, yeah,
a legacy show.
It can be very stressful watching that show, but when it does a moment between two characters or more, you know, between characters, it feels so earned when they like offer something.
They show and don't tell on that show, dude. So well. Like, it's so many hack shows.
Light spoilers for episode one of season two, yeah, of The Bear. Skip 30 seconds if you're worried. But when Sydney asks Tina to be her sous chef,
I was like crying.
I cried, man.
Same.
That was like,
because I watched season one.
That is the nicest moment I've seen in television, and it wasn't in a stupid Ted Lasso shit way. Like,
it was just like, hey, and she's like, yeah, we'll look for one.
And
he's like, no.
How nervous she was in asking her, and Tina's reaction.
Beaming. Yeah,
like, it was so earned. Because those two hated each other in season one.
Yeah, it's earned as hell.
Yeah.
It's earned. And it's just like, and you don't expect it either. It's not like a Ted Lasso thing where it's the writing's on the wall and you're like, well, here comes that scene.
Yep.
You know, yeah. Fuck, it's such a good show.
And dude, like, I set up a restaurant with my...
I think of you
and
I
set up a restaurant, and like, we did it in a really, really quick amount of time, and we... Spoilers are over, by the way. But like, we set up a restaurant so quickly, and it was so stressful and so weird, and we were constantly just like, I guess we should spend money on this.
It's so rewarding, I'm
like,
sure.
And we didn't spend money on certain things that we then had to spend money on in the future.
That's
and
what
like,
this whole season is
and
about.
Like,
you guys are going to be triggered.
It's so well researched. It's like
the research they have with chefs is insane on this show.
Yeah.
Like, and people in the food industry and hospitality industry. Man, I just saw that episode with Will Poulter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which I'm sure you've seen a photo of.
No, I haven't.
Oh, fuck. I hope I didn't spoil that.
No, I don't know shit about it. I just know that he's
cool.
In it.
Yeah, that's cool. All I knew too. And
yeah, cool.
Amazing episode.
Okay.
Just so good. Man, and the best thing about like any good show is you just... This sounds so basic, but this show is doing it so on. I don't want to say anything to you or to people who haven't watched it, but just spending time with like the cast and the characters. It's so rewarding on this show. Like, remember the first season, you're like, that Richie guy's a cunt. And then by the end of it, you're like, dude, this poor, sad guy, I feel for him so much. And like, he's just the best character. The Ridley Scott bit.
No, the best line in the entire first episode is him working on not saying his R's.
Do you know how hard it was for me not to text you?
It was the funniest fucking line.
And he's like, I haven't said G&R for a week. It's like, we're adding this one to the
and
list.
And counting and like, oh man, he's so like,
he's amazing.
He's trying so hard. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's still like, he's still fucked, but he's trying so hard.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
His arc is just, from season one on, he's such a good actor.
And from what I hear, like, season two is even better than season one, right? Like,
that's what everyone's saying. God, I mean, I'm halfway through. So exciting. Yeah. It's fantastic.
My favorite show of last year, I think. And yeah.
It's a rare show that we don't get. Like, that the ensemble is insane.
Yep.
Like,
absolutely.
It is, yeah, it's so fucking good.
I'm all caught up on Righteous Gemstones. I couldn't watch it during school holidays, and then I had I was recording or like filming shit all last week, so I was a few episodes behind.
Dude, what a fucking gift for you. Holy was to fuck. Mainline.
It's I watched 5 episodes in one day. Do you know how good that was?
Dude, it's so good.
You literally have to watch it.
You literally just have to watch it.
This season is very different to the last two seasons in that there's only one episode left, right? I think.
Yeah, I think so. Was this 8 or 7?
That was 7 we just watched. I was wondering.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe there's like...
Yeah, but...
It did feel like a penultimate
But like
episode.
There was like full on cliffhanger shit in the last two seasons where you're like, whoa, how's this going to be resolved? But this kind of feels already resolved in a way for most of it. Like, I know there's like, you know, the
Shea Whigham, we need...
Dude, so that's the only way that this
Shea
season has let me down.
Stephen Dorff.
Is that Shea Whigham and
Stephen
Dorff.
No, there's 9 episodes this season.
Okay, so we've got 2 more episodes.
We've got 2 more episodes.
That's exciting.
Yeah. All seasons are 9 episodes.
That's right.
So there's 2 more and I have a feeling
shit's going to get a bit explosive.
Yeah. And the next one's written by Danny McBride and Edie Patterson.
Oh, great.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the finale is Danny McBride and his writers.
What I love is they're really giving the side characters a lot more to do this season. Like, you know,
BJ had a great arc, has a great arc.
And a great...
great scene. Great fight scene. One of the great...
So look, I watched in one day, I watched Venture Brothers finale, 5 episodes of Righteous Gemstones and Oppenheimer, and only the first two were brave enough to show male
show
penis.
Dick. Yeah.
I love how comfortable
that fight scene is. Amazing.
Danny McBride and Jodie Hill, I would just like, you know what?
Dick
is
going to
be on screen for half the episode.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just that guy.
It's refreshing to see some schlong.
I was so like, that scene was done so well with the suspense of BJ creeping through the house.
Oh,
and
my
I'm like,
God.
Fuck, she's going to be there fucking him or something. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's just him beating off. And it's just so fucking good. And just beating the shit out of him, throwing him through like things.
I don't know how they managed to make Walton Goggins outdo himself every season. Like the
when he just came baby.
Billy's
the baby.
Bible bonkers is like...
Did you notice in the newest episode when they rush and he just like pushes the pram and it goes like flying? I rewatched that because I was like, wait, did he just push the baby really fast? And like, let's go.
Oh, man.
Baby Billy's Bible bonkers.
So funny.
And the, that brutal scene with the hologram.
Oh, man. And John Goodman.
DMX starts
DMX,
playing.
Yeah.
Just insane.
Yeah.
So good.
Great series.
Yeah.
I don't know why I wasn't like prioritizing it, but then I watched one and I was like, oh, we're doing all
every Monday. I was like, yes, first thing I did. And again, McBride is just killing it.
Yeah.
That scene, man, how good was that opening scene where he's like, yeah, let me just get that thing from my car and like whips the gun out. So fucking good.
And then the guns in this season have been
unbelievable.
The one where they all pull them out at the table
dinner table,
and BJ's got that little
table,
gun. And like,
BJ's been all time.
Yeah, I'm actually really psyched for Keith to do a bit more.
Same.
Hopefully.
You know he's about to have a redemption arc.
And even Amber too. I love that Amber's been... I love it. Like, there was young Amber in the flashback
episode. How good
episode.
Was this flashback episode?
It was killer.
Man, the guy who plays young McBride, fucking
he's fucking
uncanny.
Incredible. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want a young Sheldon, but if they do a young Kenny Powers...
That would be great.
How good is he?
He's amazing.
He's like not just... He doesn't just like... Because Danny McBride has such a particular delivery that, like, I think, like, you have to, like, grow up in Houston to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You look very worried then, staring.
I'm just concerned that the entity is fucking with our shit, but it should be fine.
Yeah.
I'll trust it again.
We'll listen after this episode.
Yeah, yeah. before we're almost in the Oppenheimer zone, but I just want to quickly give a shout out to Pikmin 4.
Oh man, I haven't started.
Very funny to me that Nintendo released two of the best games of like the year. Like Pikmin 4 is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's like I've heard as much.
It's so much fun. And it's so well paced. Except for the tutorial. Tutorial sucks shit.
How long is that?
It probably isn't that long, but it feels
like a day. Or agony, something.
Like so damn long, and then just constantly.
Would it be helpful for? And like this isn't you or I guess. Would it be helpful for someone that's never played a Pikmin?
Maybe someone who's never played a video game for
never
sure.
Never played a video. Yeah. Someone who's never opened their eyes before or used motor
like
skills.
Archie was like, "Come on!"
Yeah, that's crazy. When Archie's
like,
hating it.
Yeah, and like he, you know, he, this is the same kid that like me, him, and Tilly were playing it together. There's like full on baby mode for two player where they can just throw pebbles. That's all they can do.
But it makes them feel like
I know. So Tilly was throwing pebbles and
do they actually help at all in the game?
Yeah, no, it's actually really helpful. Like you can take out enemies before, sure. So your Pikmin don't die basically. And while I was like making dinner, he and Tilly like got enough, you know.
Stone
sparkles or whatever the fuck, so they could travel to a new world. Until he was like, "Let's go check it out." And Archie goes, "No, we need to get 100% on this one first." That's my boy.
He knows it.
But yeah, it's really funny that like they did Tears of the Kingdom, they did Pikmin 4, like two of like legitimately like you know like nine big to games. 10 out of 10 games of the year.
Yeah.
And in between those two games, they released Everybody 1-2 Switch.
Just and they didn't want to, by the sounds of things,
dude. That game is like, and this is coming from someone like, I will give the first 1-2 Switch its props for having a few games in the mix that were quite fun, especially to play with kids. But overall, it was like, yeah, just a menu with a bunch of games that you can access.
It's something that you would stick in a kiosk to be like,
yeah, this is
what the Switch can
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Or it's something you send to developers who are making games for the Switch and you're like, here's things you can do. And like, I remember you playing it at that like PAX Slack event I went to where I had like early access to the Switch. And it was fun there because you were given 5 minutes and you're in a noisy room.
I remember Kojima played it when he was there.
So cool. but yeah, that it should never have been more than that.
So the new one is...
it's by time, right?
What's that? Well, like not, yeah. So, in. I mean, apparently at some point you get the menu where there's all the games you can choose from. But to begin with, you just have to commit to like a 10-minute game, a 20-minute game, or a half-hour game, or even longer than that. And within that, it randomly selects from a small selection of the games for you to play. There's some games you can play with your phone. There's some games you can play with the Joy-Cons, but you can't play a mix of them both. You have to either play with commit to a timed game with your Joy-Cons or a timed game with your phones.
I thought the whole point was like anyone can join.
Anyone can join some games sometimes.
Sure.
And
is it weird using your phone?
A few games. Okay. One of the games that you use your phone is like you are working for a magazine and you have to... Basically, it will tell you a color and you have to find something that in your space and take a photo of it that matches that color.
That's pretty cool.
And it's really fun. Like me and the kids were like that running around.
That seems very Nintendo.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Very, very fun.
But for every game like that, there's this fucking game where aliens land and you have to welcome them to your side of the screen by in unison lifting the Joy-Con or phone above your head. And chanting like huh, buh, huh, two, huh, huh, huh. And then if you're out of time, the aliens start walking back to their ship. And it's
so
and
weird.
It's fully reliant on everyone in the team being... It's so frustrating. It is the definition of not fun.
That's really
and
funny.
When you try and play... Everybody. Like I would happily play 5 rounds of the find a color game.
Yeah.
There's a Joy-Con game where... like so for instance like me Tilly and Archie got put on a team and I was on my own team and it was like okay Tilly and Archie you guys leave go out of the room and I'm gonna hide one of the Joy-Cons and you have to find it but you're holding the other Joy-Con and when you push
it like
a button
or something.
It vibrates and each button makes a different sound of a vibration so they've basically got to find it.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's really fun like it's dumb but it's super fun especially when you're playing with kids because they're like running around like, buzz 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 buzz. But yeah, again, like for
not
every
game
like that, which you would happily play a few rounds of, you can't just play a few rounds of it because it's interspersed with these shitty experiences that they're for. That like, yeah, like my fucking 6-year-old is like, this is boring. this like is not fun.
It's really funny.
Yeah. And like the presentation is so bad. It's like it feels
made it.
It feels like a bunch of stock images came to life.
Yeah.
And then they shot videos about these shitty games.
Who made it?
I guess I don't know.
Like I'm looking at like it looks disgusting.
Yeah, it's so bad. There's one where you like
it's funny seeing how like it's being like completely trashed, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's objectively not a good game. There is definitely like a few cool mini games in the collection.
Yeah.
But it's not worth wading through all the shit to get to them. Like I would be way more forgiving of it if it was just easy to avoid the things I don't like about it. But at this point,
it's still sitting on my Switch, but I have not touched it.
Yeah, but Pikmin 4 fucking rocks.
Yeah, I gotta get around that.
Throwing rocks fucking rocks.
I need a two player. Where are you at Tears of the Kingdom?
So I'm enjoying a little break from Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. I hit 100 hours.
Congratulations.
Three sages. I don't know how many of everything else, but yeah. I haven't got the Master Sword yet, but I do have all the memories. I just like, I needed a little rest from it. I'll go back to it.
Once it's not going anywhere.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, I know what's going to happen.
DLC.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. That'll be sick. But, I mean like in terms of like, you know, I'm not really worried about story elements.
Oh, there's no story
for me.
But I mean, there's more story than Breath of the Wild, but there's very no story.
The coolest thing I've been doing though is finally playing my Steam Deck.
Oh yeah. I'm playing sure. A shitload. I forgot you had that.
It rules.
Yeah.
It is such a good console. I got given a preview code for a new Devolver game called Gunbrella.
Oh, yeah. I saw you talking about it.
And I'm playing a lot past the point that I was told that I was allowed to play. I mean, what are they going to do?
Why did they do that?
I guess it's like...
Why don't they send you a demo?
Yeah, maybe it's like, don't talk about it whilst a certain
yeah,
point.
It's probably
today.
That.
Yeah, but it's a really good game.
Fun game.
It's like going to be one of my favorite games of the year.
I mean, I knew that from the trailer.
Really cool story. And like, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a violent 2D action game. Of course I'm going to love it.
Yeah, I'm still FF16. Loving that shit.
That's crazy. And we didn't even talk about it on the podcast, did we? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. You finished Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it, but it's,
all shrines, all
everything.
Everything.
152
everything
shrines.
Except the core. Actually, no, we did talk about it. Yeah.
152 shrines, 120 light routes.
How were everything. You towards the... Were you like, I spent my time wisely? Or
yeah, I
like,
felt sad too, though. I was like, yeah. I love this world. I got like quite sad because I kind of like just locked myself in from like when it come out, like mid-May
yeah.
to like the end of June, just playing it over. Like, I think I got like 160, 70 hours and I just loved it. It's the best. Is it going to be like the biggest game of this year, do you think?
I think it's going to win like the Game Awards stuff. They released sales. It sold really well.
Yeah.
But then again, like, you know what else sold really well is the Harry Potter game. So
yeah,
you know,
right. I even forgot that game came out.
Yeah, yeah. Because we didn't know a single person who played it.
No.
Except some other podcasters who...
Donated
to a trans charity to make themselves feel better.
Just like don't play the game and donate if like, you're feeling that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think Zelda felt like a true moment that I haven't felt for a long time where everybody, well, the majority of people I knew were just like playing this game regardless of their like skill of gaming or...
Yeah, totally.
It's
yeah.
so good. I still think it's such a masterstroke that they just took the same map. I know there's that like video, the Nerol video that did the rounds where that person like complains about...
Yeah, some of his complaints I totally see the point of, but I also
some I do,
feel
like, you know, pressing a button to pick up rupees is annoying.
And like how annoying the organization...
The wheel is for getting the sages, yeah. I find. The sage thing is the thing that annoys me the most.
For me, it's the scrolling through every single item.
Mm.
Like
but
yeah.
huge advancement from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean,
the game does so many other enormous things.
It's
insane.
I'm sure that, and I'm sure they're locked in now to like this mode. Like, this is what Zelda is now.
Yeah, crazy. I feel like they might pivot, might give us like a really linear one.
I reckon they'll do two. My guess is they will do like top down dungeon stuff for, you know, they'll do smaller.
Yeah, I thought
ones.
We would get like the Oracle games.
But who's the producer? AG.
Eiji Aonuma.
He said basically recent, like I think in an interview last month, he's like, this is now what Zelda is going for.
Yeah. It's crazy that so many of the same people that worked on the 1986 Zelda
still make it.
Are still,
it's amazing. Yeah. It rules.
Bonkers
still,
shit.
I still know nothing about The Boy and the Heron, which is great.
The new Miyazaki
yeah.
joint. Yeah, nothing.
That keeps me excited.
When are we going to get like an announcement date for that coming out here?
I don't know.
Are we going to get it this year? Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Apparently we're getting it this year.
Sometimes like anime is like, oh yeah, you're getting it a year and a half from release. You remember like how Evangelion took forever to come here.
Do you know what the ending is of Secret Invasion?
I just know that like two of the characters that were Skrulls.
Who's another one?
Our favorite MCU character.
Rhodey?
No. White Panther.
Oh, is he at the start?
Yeah. So he's in the end of the finale too.
Like the real one?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long was he a Skrull for? We don't even know.
Well, apparently less time than Rhodey, apparently.
Which Rhodey has been since like Civil War, maybe?
I don't know you talk about this shit.
But apparently, all I found out is someone, for some reason, Nick Fury.
Just text you the ending.
Was it noon? No, I wish. Somehow Nick Fury has like the DNA. Sorry if you watch it, I don't care. The DNA of all of the Avengers.
Right.
And they injected it into like Emilia Clarke. And then she did the final battle of this season with like her arm would turn to Drax quickly. And then like she just like would cycle through every Avenger. Oh,
and I bet a CGI effects team were paid an enormous amount of money to make that look as good as possible.
In a realistic time frame as well, I'm sure. Yeah, it looks insane. There's like a silent clip doing the rounds on... But this is like the quiet show that was supposed to be. Remember, this was their Andor. Remember, people were like, this is going to be our quiet show.
Look how bad the effect. Why is she like shiny and what are they? Weird. Okay.
This was their.
So from that clip, it's like she didn't really need everyone else's powers. She just needed Captain Marvel's powers.
Essentially.
So now Emilia Clarke is the most powerful character in the MCU.
I guess so.
I'm looking forward to them explaining.
That and the Celestial.
Dude, the fact that like that next MCU movie, The Marvels, features two main characters that were introduced in
TV series
that like not everyone watched. And everyone that watched WandaVision, you're not going to remember that one of those characters got powers.
By walking through red.
And like you were made to think from the end of it that she was going to be in Secret Invasion, not in like her own movie.
No.
Whatever. Like it just feels like the... like. Maybe they can elegantly explain who they are in a movie. Sometimes they are. They do just say that. But
the world is tapped out.
Not only is the world tapped out.
We're not just saying
that. The actors can't promote the movie.
They're not allowed to promote, but the world is tapped out. Like, they're not making any money. Like, Marvel had their worst year cinematically. Down more than ever. DC, obviously, you know, historically.
Blue Beetle's going to do nothing numbers. Yeah.
Blue Beetle's... what's that word? Projected to make 12 to 15 million.
I think it was 27 million.
No, it was 12 to like 15 million on its opening weekend.
Oh, opening weekend, right. Sure.
Which is really insane.
I mean, why would anyone be invested in...
Because there's no comics about him, right? It's just like a side character.
I mean, like, no, but like, I think they were like, oh, let's tap into the Latin American community.
Which is a good thing to do. It was Paranormal Activity that, you know, they did the Latin spinoff or something. It was like the highest grossing movie in that
series. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, maybe that audience will come out for this, but like, I think
people
that go see superhero movies like don't exist anymore.
No,
it was so cool. So I went and saw Oppenheimer on a Monday night.
Packed.
And it was packed. And also... everyone else at the cinema that wasn't seeing Oppenheimer was wearing all pink because they were seeing the Barbie movie.
Dude, it rules.
On a Monday night. Like, it was the big... Like, neither of them broke records for...
that week.
No. So neither of the movies broke records for, like, themselves broke any records. Sure. But combined, it's the biggest weekend
at movies
in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, ever, I think.
It's insane.
Which is awesome. And, like...
It's crazy that adults are going to see... movies at a cinema, not streaming, about properties that have yet, like, you know, movies that are currently franchise-less.
Yeah, it rules.
Yeah, it's so cool. Two auteur directors.
And, like, yeah, and they're both, like, one of them is a biopic about someone from the Second World War.
Yeah.
And the other one is like a, you know, I guess, yeah, Barbie's always going to make money. Oppenheimer, obviously Nolan and the stars are what people are coming for. But it just rules that, like...
it's so refreshing.
Both movies are doing...
and this is a month after far better than MI7 as well.
But unfortunately...
it's not making as much money.
Well, I mean, like, I reckon it's going to now, this next weekend, Mission Impossible 7 will have a better weekend than it just have. But... and also, didn't he like sign an agreement with cinemas that it would be in cinemas till October?
I think so.
So I guess like there will be...
I just think the release of the film was...
they fucked it, dude.
Yeah.
It should have come out like July 4th
or something.
No, it should have come out July 4th. Even 2 weeks earlier, it would have been different.
Yeah. I think it did get shifted earlier, remember too. And like it should have been shifted much earlier.
Yeah.
Just, you can't compete with Barbenheimer.
You can't compete with Haunted Mansion.
I mean, it's so funny that Barbenheimer was made essentially because Chris Nolan left Warner Brothers after his dispute about them releasing film things. And then, you know, the announcement day, then Warner Brothers like released Barbie to try and like sabotage.
Yeah, man. Barbenheimer this, Barbenheimer that. Where were you motherfuckers when I was the only person on earth celebrating Flasher Mental Day?
Damn, you were the only Flasher Mentalist, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. Not even Ezra was...
No one was walking into a cinema wet.
Do you remember when they pulled out Ezra?
Wet like the water character from Elemental. Everyone just walking around soaked.
Remember when they just wheeled out Ezra to the like...
To one premiere
and they just like stood there.
That'll do.
So insane.
That'll do, shithead.
And you know what, we'll never see from them again.
Oh, no. Yeah, that motherfucker ain't never coming back.
Not going in any film ever.
They're no one's favorite Flash.
There's no one's favorite actor.
Yeah.
An abysmal choice. Zack Snyder's choice. Zack Snyder picked every character.
But yeah, it's funny that everyone is going like, oh, it's, you know, Dark Knight and Mamma Mia were released on the same day, like however many years ago. Mm. And I'm like, 2 weeks ago, Flash and Elemental came out the same day.
The real one. Yeah. You fucking morons.
No one made a portmanteau of those two ones.
No.
So, yeah.
It's insane. We'll never see anything like this again. We will see.
We'll see people, lots of people try it.
We'll see a lot of imitations that will just completely fail, but we'll never see. It'll be like two auteurs doing this. Like Greta Gerwig's rise is insane, from Lady Bird to Little Women to this. Like, that's crazy.
But I feel like, I don't know, there are lots of little moments. Like, yeah, I honestly wonder if Mission Impossible released the same weekend, if it would do better. Like, if there was this insane trinity of people going to see three movies in one day.
I know I would sign up for it.
Yeah.
Fuck, fuck Barbenheimer. What order are you doing? Those in Dead Reckoning.
I know. So I'm seeing four movies in one day. I'm doing Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Then I'm doing Barbie. Then I'm doing Oppenheimer.
Then Mission Impossible.
I
honestly think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sandwich that with Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
You got to like end with that train sequence.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah.
I want to see it again.
Same.
I was like, yeah, I could see Mission Impossible 7 for a second time. I'm like, wait, I already did do that.
Yeah,
like,
I've seen it, I think, three times. I'm like, rolls. I can do it a fourth time for sure. It's so fucking joyous.
See it seven times.
Dude, I just want to see the Mount Rushmore of our new Mount Rushmore, which is every woman actor in that film.
Yeah, I tried to make an AI image for us to put on a t-shirt.
Do that. Yeah, yeah.
Of Rebecca Ferguson, Vanessa Kirby,
Hayley Atwell, and Pom Clementiff.
As Mount Rushmore.
It's the new Mount Rushmore. Yeah. Sorry, Tig Notaro.
And you know what?
You've been fired.
And then we should do one where it's
Tom's jumping off it on a bike. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the one. We should honestly do that.
Mount Rushmore and Tom on a bike. Done. Jumping off it.
All right, that's my next project. Because look, I actually got this email. The shirts are being printed as we speak.
Hey fam, shirts.
They're finally coming.
Are there any sample photos or?
What's the place called? Oh yeah.
So we got an exclusive. I'm going to describe to you what something looks like.
We don't describe it.
So just look at it. Oh, fuck. When are we going to drop what these look like?
When they're ready. Just like available now.
Oh my God, the other one's so funny.
And that one's like...
How good.
Just absurd.
Two guys laughing at some shirts they designed. I completely forgot what one of them was. Like, this process took so long.
Yeah.
We finally made Hey Fam shirts.
And also we have the tags of that on it. So that they're like tags.
Oh, wait, woven labels of our podcast.
So we have woven
logo.
Labels.
Well, Nick can never change the name of the podcast now.
No, we can't. We never could. So we have a bunch of labels. So that means the next shirts we do, which I reckon we'll do pretty soon after everything's set up, the tags are there, the show, we can just like send the designs and get done.
Well, look,
I reckon we'll have these ready next week, and because they're printing them now.
The first place you're going to find out about these shirts is in the Hey Fam Discord, and you can join that by going to patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month is all it costs to join our Discord, but that's not all you get for signing up for $5.
What else do you get?
The main event is PayFam, the extra episode of Hey Fam that we record every single week. And this week's PayFam is going to be all about Oppenheimer.
Last week we did
full spoilers for Barbie. This week we're doing full spoilers for Oppenheimer.
Oppenheim out if you don't want to be spoiled. But if you listen to this podcast, there's a very good chance you've seen this film.
And if not, like, go watch that shit.
If not, read a fucking book. Go to Hiroshima. Do your research.
How funny is like people being like upset that there's not a Japanese person?
Just, it's not this movie. It's like, not, yeah, fuck off.
I mean, Oppenheimer probably didn't meet one in his life.
No, of course not. Why would they? They were mystical people. Like both, you know.
Yeah.
Both were to one another.
I see people being like, I saw someone else being like, yeah, Oppenheimer's not a likable main character. I'm like, yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, that's
like,
the point.
That's the fucking point.
Well, he doesn't even suck. He's just like, he's a person. Like, he's not a character. He's a historical figure.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's a guy who, man, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, come join us over at patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month. You get an extra episode every single week. This week is going to be an absolute heater, and we'd love for you to hear it.
A heater, almost as hot as a megaton bomb dropped and melting skin. Fuck, man, it's such a good movie. That sound design.
Let's talk about it.
Let's hit it. Hit that button.